Welcome back. Those of a certain age will remember when Wednesday was Prince Spaghetti Day, at least according to the Prince Spaghetti manufacturers. And here on Midday, Thursday is the day for theater reviews with our theater critic, Jaywin Russick. Hey, Judy, how you doing?
Fine, thank you.
So you have been to see the new show at the Chesapeake Shakespeare Company in their beautiful sort of new theater down on Redwood Street here in Charm City, Anne of the Thousand Days. And we are deep into the political season, for to be sure. Shakespeare certainly wrote a lot of plays, you know, about politics and history. But actually, this production at Chesapeake Shakespeare is a political play, but it's not by Shakespeare. So timely, still timely, however, though, huh?
It is. This is a very strong production, and it is very timely, in part because of the play's focus on women. In this case, a woman who's trying to wield power in a society that's not only trying to thwart that, but has certain, shall we say, misogynistic tendencies. The play is Maxwell Anderson's 1948 historical drama. The woman is Anne Boleyn, the second of Henry VIII's six wives. And Anderson imagines what brought them together, what tore them apart, and the consequences on England's political and religious life from then on. The play is told in flashback. It's framed by short scenes of Anne in the Tower of London and Henry signing her death decree, and then it flashes back to the start of their relationship. Anne is one of Queen Catherine of Aragon's ladies-in-waiting when she catches the king's eye. Her sister Mary has already been one of Henry's mistresses, and that arrangement is not going to be good enough for Anne, especially because the king has just broken up Anne's engagement, a really love match. She talks back to Henry in their first scene together. She criticizes his poetry, his music, his dancing, even the sounds he makes when he makes love to her sister, which she has overheard.
And these are not things that, generally speaking, put you in good stead with the king when you start doing that.
No, right? No, not at all. And Lizzie Albert, who plays Anne, really gets that heatedness into her discourse with him. The next time they meet, 2 years later, Henry, who's played by Ron Hennigan, can't stop thinking about her. He wants her to bear him a son. She is only interested if she can be his queen. And she's so insolent, this time again, that he slaps her. But even that doesn't slow her down.
But an heir must be legitimate, not base-born. And while you are married to Catherine, you can have only bastards. Fill me with as many sons as you like. You would still have no heir, and I would have nothing.
Would you marry me if I were free?
You can't get free of Catherine. You know that, and I know it.
But if I were free, free to marry you, and would have you crowned Queen of England, would you marry me?
Yes. If you will make me Queen of England, I will marry you.
Oh, there's a bargain, huh? That's Lizzie Albert and Ron Hennigan in Chesapeake Shakespeare Company's production of Anne of the Thousand Days. And obviously, in a play like this, the portrayals of Anne Boleyn and Henry VIII are crucial to its success. So how about these performances? First, are they well matched? Are they good foils for each other?
They're very well matched. What they have in common is a real ruthlessness that comes across in these performances. They're not going to stop until they get what they want. And that also turns out to be the downfall of the relationship, certainly her downfall. Hennigan has this broad, commanding stance. He's not accustomed to anyone saying no to him. And that actually may be one of Anne's attractions for him. And Lizzie Albert.
That's hard to get. Hard to get always works. Yeah, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It works in this case. But she plays Anne as shrewd and wily as Ron Hennigan plays Henry. He tries to romance her. She is just pure disdain, especially after they've had a secret marriage outside the church. This is not good enough for her. And the playwright, Maxwell Anderson, also makes them equally culpable. He makes it look as if things actually could have turned out differently. They both started out with some sense of mercy, but spite overtook that. Getting back to timeliness, Tom, there's a lot of talk about womanizing and lying in this play, all too familiar topics today.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I brought you an example. Here's Anne accusing Henry of lying.
You've never yet told truth where a lie would serve. And we had a bargain, remember? I said, if you will make me queen, I will marry you. But our marriage was at night and in secret. The church does not hold it valid. I am not the queen, and my child will not inherit the throne. Was this planned? It's like many plans I've known you to make.
I'll strangle you yet. I'll put an end to you.
No doubt.
You've lied at times and to me. What's all this sudden passion about lying?
I could have said I love you. I love you. I love you. I didn't say it because I don't.
Lizzie Albert as Anne Boleyn and Ron Hennigan as Henry VIII, recorded by Billy Bush on an Access Hollywood bus just weeks ago. What a coincidence, actually. I made that part up. All right, so these actors, they sound pretty good. I mean, this is pretty convincing to my ears. I mean, how about the look of this production down at Chesapeake Shakespeare?
Well, interestingly, Chesapeake Shakespeare has taken the idea of powerful women to heart, and they have hired all women designers for this production and a female director. The director is Casey Campbell, who's a resident director at Rep Stage in Columbia, and she really brings out the nuances and the accessibility and the basic humanity of these larger-than-life historic figures. You do feel a pang for them that this maybe could have avoided being a tragedy. I have to say,
I mean, Casey, they clearly like each other.
Oh yeah.
I mean, she's not totally in it for the money, as it were, right? I mean, she has some attraction.
And he courts her for 6 years.
Yeah,
then the marriage lasts 3 years, and then off with her head.
Yeah.
I have to say, Casey Campbell doesn't do quite as good a job at blocking on Chesapeake Shakespeare's deep thrust stage. I was sitting on the side, and there were several times when one actor was blocking my view of another. This is something that can be solved by keeping the actors moving a little bit more. I want to say something more about these designers. The set is by Catherine Kowicki, and she keeps things very simple. The primary element that she has is this kind of wooden trellis at the back of the stage. And at first I thought this looks like the pipes of an organ. But then as I watched it and the play progressed, I thought it looked a little more like prison bars at the Tower of London.
That's a good thing, then, right? To keep you guessing a little bit, you know?
It sort of change and then sort of, if I can say, you know, lock into place. Designer Christina Lambden has come up with some really sumptuous costumes. Henry looks almost exactly like the Hans Holbein portrait that we all know. He has that rakish, tilted, fur-trimmed hat, and there's a lot of detail in these costumes. Anne wears the pearl necklace with the gold bee on it that we see in the most famous picture of her from London's National Portrait Gallery.
All right, nice costume. So this is Anne of the Thousand Days. Obviously, it ends badly for Anne. And is this production, I mean, this is a Shakespeare theater, but they're not doing a Shakespeare play. This is, what's the guy's name, Maxwell Anderson?
Yes.
Is it worthy of a Shakespearean house?
Well, Maxwell Anderson is not Shakespeare's equal. The language and the complexity are not quite up to that level.
Who among us is Shakespeare's
yes, isn't that
equal?
The, isn't that the truth? But there's a lot of exposition. There's some creakiness in the plot. Although I have to say, Shakespeare wrote a play, one of his less known plays, Henry VIII, and less known for good reason. It's definitely one of his weakest plays. I have to say the play is an appropriate choice for Shakespeare company, particularly since Henry and Anne's daughter became Elizabeth I, who was Shakespeare's patron. And Chesapeake Shakespeare does a very impressive job with this play. It's one of the better Chesapeake Shakespeare productions. I do have one other bit of news from Chesapeake Shakespeare. They have just begun renovations on a second building. This is the old Merchants Club on Redwood Street, next door to them. And they're going to have rehearsal space in there, and they're going to have educational space. They're going to move their administrative offices, and they plan to be in that space as an auxiliary space this spring. So that's kind of
well,
exciting,
good for them.
Too.
They're in a demolition frenzy over there, aren't they? I mean, that's terrific.
Or a renovation frenzy.
I mean, yeah. How old is what I still refer to as the new theater? Is this the third season?
Yes, I think it's the third season.
And it's a beautiful building, and good for them that they can
Showpiece,
expand a little
absolutely.
Bit. All right, so we got a couple minutes left. That's Anne of a Thousand Days, but it's at Chesapeake Shakespeare until November 13th. That's a sort of good old-fashioned, you know, stand up and say your lines play. But we've also got some more avant-garde fare cropping up in Charm City. We've got this thing called the Charm City Fringe Festival. We've had a few of those folks on the show in the past. Tell us a little bit about what's coming up with that.
This is the fifth year for the Charm City Fringe Festival. It's going to run November 3rd through 13th. and they have just unveiled the full schedule, 101 performances in 11 days.
Yeah. 11
days, 101 performances, puppets, burlesque, rock operas, solo pieces, mostly local artists, but also artists from around the country. They're going to be in half a dozen venues, from Still Point and Mercury Theaters in the 1800 block of North Charles Street to several venues in Hamden, including Church and Company on Falls Road and the Ideal Art Space on 36th Street.
Yeah, they spread out all over
the place. Yeah, yeah. I picked out a couple sample offerings that sounded especially intriguing to me. One of them is called Magnificent Machines and Astonishing Tales. It is an interactive rock opera. And another one that sounds really cool is a 60-minute one-man take on Apocalypse Now. And they're also after
a one-man take on Apocalypse
Now. They're all kind of they're free events. They're things featuring comics and musical acts at places like Joe Squared and the Wind Up Space.
Good for them. So, well, Charm City Fringe shows, it's always kind of hit and miss, this kind of thing. I mean, you can come to some of these things and they're terrific and they're really interesting, and other rooms are just dogs.
But, so, from Shakespeare Theater doing Maxwell Anderson to Fringe Festival, all
exactly.
kinds of good stuff.
Anne of the Thousand Days is at the Chesapeake Shakespeare Company on Redwood Street in Baltimore until the 13th of November. That's also when the Charm City Fringe Festival ends as well. Come to our website, wypr.org/midday, and we'll have complete details on showtimes and tickets. Theater critic J. Wynn Russick joins us every Thursday here on Midday. Next Thursday, Judy, what are we going to talk about?
Next Thursday, we're doing Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella at the Hippodrome. Can't wait to tell you about that.
Shine up my glass slippers. That's it for us today. Tomorrow, Midday on Politics, a conversation with two candidates for Congress in Maryland's 2nd District. Incumbent Representative Dutch Ruppersberger has served in the House for 14 years. He's being challenged by Republican State Delegate Pat McDonough, who has represented Baltimore and Harford counties in the Maryland legislature since 2003. They'll join me in the studio for a discussion and to take your calls and comments. That's all tomorrow. On Midday today, we want to thank Eddie's of Roland Park for providing lunch for our guests. Eddie's is a full-service market with locations on North Charles Street and on Roland Avenue in Roland Park. Their deli features unique sandwiches and salads with specials every day, all listed on their website, eddiesofrolandpark.com. We are listed on your website, wypr.org/midday, where you can catch a podcast of any show you might have missed or feel like hearing again. I encourage you to follow us on Twitter as well. Check out @MiddayTomHall. Thanks so much for being with us today. We'll see you tomorrow. Here and Now is up next after the news at the top of the hour. Have a great day.